Raven, let's play what would you do in this situation.
Okay, go.
Okay. So you know how I'm super anal about a lot of things? One of them being I like to be on time and I don't like to be late to things.
It is good to be on time. Yes, punctuality is important.
So I had made a plan that I was going to take my family to this amusement park that's about 2 hours from my house. It's 1 hour and 57 minutes to be exact.
Okay, crazy.
It opens at 10 a.m. Uh-huh. So the plan was that we were going to leave at exactly 8 a.m. so that we would be there for opening, because everybody knows that you can get on the rides earlier and better, like right when the park opens, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So I get up like a crazy person at 6:30, get myself showered, get the kids up, get everything packed, and everybody's taking forever and I'm losing my mind. So we get on the road and it is now 8:35.
Oh my gosh.
I am 35 minutes behind schedule. And I am rushing around like a crazy person to get back on the road. So we get on the road. We're 15 minutes into the drive. And I say to my husband, where's my cell phone? Because I asked him to grab my cell phone.
Oh, my gosh.
And he seems really quiet. And he goes, oh, you didn't get it? And I go, no, I told you to grab my cell phone. I had the baby and all the bags and all the stuff. And he goes, oh, I left it on the rock wall in the driveway. Now, there's two things I could do right now. Lose my freaking mind.
Yes.
Because why would you leave my phone on the rock wall when I specifically told you to bring it in? Like, what would possess you not to open the car door that is 1 foot away and put it inside? Why would you leave it on the rock wall outside of the car?
Mm.
But I was like, okay, if I do that, this is not going to go well.
Option two?
I can keep calm and say, don't worry about it. I'll have my mom pick it up and I don't need my phone today. And that's what I did. It took every ounce of me to do that and stay calm.
I would imagine so. Did you have a wonderful day, though?
Well, so it's 12 hours went without my phone. And the first 2 to 3 hours, like in the car when we first got there, like the anxiety was so much. Because what if something happens? What if somebody needs me? What mm-hmm. if something happens at work?
I mean, at the very least, somebody could have walked up and stole your phone.
Well, I called my mom and I asked her to go pick it up for me. So mm-hmm. she had sent my father. He went and got it. I knew that they had it at their house.
Okay.
It was safe. So that was fine. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, my mom and dad know that I don't have my phone, and they can reach me through my husband or my daughter. My family's with me. I guess I'm fine.
You can survive this.
So I went through the first few hours without the phone, and then it was nice, and I, like, observed things that I would never see, and I watched more moments with my kids, and it felt really good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then I got home. My husband went to go pick up my phone. Guess how many missed text messages, phone calls, and emails I had?
Well, the ride home must have been excruciating anyways if you were awake, but how many?
So I had 53 missed text messages.
Okay.
One missed call and 442
emails. 442
emails
in a span of 12 hours.
Yes.
Girl, you need to start unsubscribing right now.
I am subscribed to a lot, but it was an interesting experiment that I don't want to do again. But Raven, if you were given that situation, you were already late to an appointment,
mm-hmm.
and you were 15 minutes into the trip. Would you turn around and go home to get your phone, or would you just continue on your way?
If it's going to take me away for 12 hours, I'd probably have to go back. If it's a regular appointment and I'm already running late, I'm not going back. And there's nothing cool about when you have to message your spouse when you're not with them and say, oh, I don't have my phone. It's me from the other phone. Doesn't it always just feel so leery?
Yeah, so
it
weird.
It feels weird.
It does.
Goosebaba. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Today is all about how to build confidence. And oddly, Raven, TikTok has become a breeding ground for influencers teaching how to build confidence.
Okay, that doesn't really surprise me. I mean, we're doing recipes from there. We're doing dances, all sorts of different stuff.
Yeah. Oddly, though, they all have some weird accents. I'm not sure what countries they're from.
Okay.
All right. What are their tips for having a ton of confidence?
There's one simple trick to build confidence or reduce social anxiety. Next time when you go to a restaurant, instead of ordering from the menu, put the menu down and speak directly to the waiter.
Just talk me through the menu and some of your favorites and starters and mains.
I like the fish and chips from here.
I feel like it'd be annoying if I went to a restaurant and they were like, I just gave you a menu. What do you mean talk me through it?
What if you had the friend that asked every waiter everywhere you went to talk them through it? and does that translate to fast food too, right? And you'd be like, you know what? I can read the sign here, but walk me through the value meals again. Would you please?
Relax body language. This means move around freely like you own the place, spread yourself out, and do not fidget. This will give you the sensation of power.
I mean, I do that already.
No, I was about to say, Raven does this all the time, and it's so awkward because he walks in and he automatically puts out his arms like he's some kind of bird. And I'm like, what are you doing, Raven? Don't
That's
you?
It. I spread out.
Yeah.
I spread out.
It's weird.
Also, a little trick that you can do is lean back in the chair. This will send an unconscious signal to the other person that they need to work for your attention.
Interestingly enough, yesterday we had a big meeting and I already had grabbed all this information. And I was at our meeting and I was looking around to see who was sitting back in their chair and who was leaning forward. And it was an interesting experiment because you could see the people that were very confident were sitting back.
Yeah.
While those who probably are not as confident in that room
sitting
were
forward.
Leaning forward.
Up at attention, right?
Yeah.
I was sitting back. I had to sit forward after because for a while there I got a little bit tired there
minute. Thank you for not humiliating me and falling asleep.
Don't try to convince other people and be willing to walk away if your interest is not being reciprocated. You can do this with a date or a client. Looks like we're not a match. I wish you the best, though.
I wish I could just walk away from people I don't want to talk to anymore.
There's definitely a power that comes in the fact when you're willing to, you know, make that. You can't bluff all the time.
Adopt the power stance. Stand with your legs spread apart and your arms spread out. The aim is to cover as much space as possible. If you do this for just 2 minutes, you flood your body with testosterone and will instantly feel more self-assured and confident.
What if you walk into a room and there's somebody just like a starfish sprawled out like that for 2 minutes?
I'm glad you explained it to me because I actually didn't understand a word he said.
Yeah, no.
The rest of them I was able to follow. That one I didn't get.
Imagine you're a starfish with just your arms out, right? For 2 minutes you stand like that and that's supposed to boost your confidence to go into any kind of meeting.
All right.
Here's the last one though, and it's the one that stays with me the most.
This is a simple trick to become more confident. This one is called the 10% discount. Now, the idea is that you go into a shop, a coffee shop or a supermarket, and randomly ask them for 10% discount. This is going to build your confidence like nothing else.
You know, I mean, they say that what? There's power in negotiation, and plenty of people will negotiate that you wouldn't think would, but... that strikes me as odd.
We're going to try this. We're going to put this to a test. We're going to go in and we're going to ask for 10% off certain places. And
what?
We're going to report back to see if we actually get 10% off.
Oh, gosh, I'm already uncomfortable.
I mean, the irony of all this is that today is 420. But what gives you a natural high? 1-800-330-9999. It's a real thing, you know, that dopamine levels skyrocket. You're in the zone. You're on top of the world. And last night I got there and I was like... I felt all the excitement and I was like, I couldn't breathe and I was in the zone and I was doing everything. And then I looked and I go, I'm just cleaning. That's what's giving me my high.
I was going to say, I mean, how did you get there?
Oh my gosh.
So you were just cleaning?
I went through all my closets. I cleaned out. Like, you know how your closets get overcrowded with too much stuff that you can't
nonsense,
even see what's in there anymore?
Yes.
I went and got rid of all the nonsense and the junk. I took off all the plastic wrapping on the dry cleaning. Like, you know when you get your dry cleaning black back?
Big day. Big day.
That's cathartic. Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a loser. I don't know. There's a good chance.
No, I know the feeling.
But like when I finished and I had those three giant garbage bags there and I looked at my closet, my spring clean closet, and I could see my shirts and I could see my purses and all of that, I was like, woo! it was like my natural high. And then I realized what a dork I am. That's the thing that gets me excited.
Well, you know, I think organizing for adults in general, especially like type A's, right? Those of us that are wound a little bit tight, you know, got a little bit of OCD. It is a great feeling. It's freeing.
What was that one show? You got to spark joy. Marie Kondo.
Yes.
You got to spark joy.
You got to spark joy.
You sparked joy.
I did.
Your items become a burden. It's a lot like, you know what I mean? Like hoarders, right? Like, I mean, your items become a burden, you know?
Yep.
All that stuff. So when you clear some of it out, it definitely does feel good.
I was thinking about it, though, like the natural high, because it's like when it's a chemical thing that happens in your body.
Yeah.
But what triggers it? Because people always talk runners about the runner's high.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried 100 times. I've been chasing that runner. High my whole life. I have never once gone.
Well, you got to run further. I mean, I think we stopped at like a 5K, you know, maybe a little bit longer during training there. I mean, you got to run further, I think, to get there.
Training for a 5K?
We're not going to do that.
Oh,
yeah, that's what we did.
Months.
Oh, yeah, we trained for months.
I trained for months for a 5K.
Yeah. 3 miles.
And if it wasn't for me chasing her, I just would have never even finished, to tell you the truth. So, yeah. You know what? I mean, I kind of get that when I fix something that's broken. Like, I like to resurrect things, like mm-hmm. old things, and put them back together and get them to work. You remember when I changed the engine on my riding lawnmower?
Oh, you were on top of the world.
Woo! Yeah. Girl, I felt like it was NASCAR, and these were the pits at Indy. Like, I was, like, getting it done. It was Daytona. It was a big deal.
Producer John, what gives you a natural high?
I realized this a couple of weeks ago when we did the parades. Like, just being around large groups of people. I really am that kind of extrovert. I walked away from that like thinking to myself, like, did I have a drink? I didn't have a drink. No, I just feel this way now.
In John's mind, the entire crowd was just like,
more. Give me more.
I don't know if the term for that would be extrovert, but I get it.
I used to get the natural high all the time after a good Zumba class. When I led a good Zumba class and everybody was just feeling good and sweaty and the music was loud and we were into it. That was a good natural high.
That's the runner's high, isn't it? Right? You're just getting it from dancing instead of running.
Well, yeah, but dancing's cooler than running. So ironically, today is 420, but what gives you the natural high? I was like on top of the world last night because I did my spring cleaning, organized my closets, which sounds so dumb. But I was like, woo, when I finished.
Well, I mean, you know that you push something off your to-do list at that point, right? DJing a cool party where everybody goes nuts, that's a good time.
Yeah, when I used to get off a stand-up stage after I did a good set, oh, I used to hear like the clapping behind you. That would give me a natural high.
Anything performance-wise, it's the threat of, you know, catastrophic failure or success at that moment. I love that.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What gives you a natural high?
Gardening. Everybody should try it. I know not everybody thinks they have a green thumb, but it's not really about that. It's just getting your hands in the dirt and, like, you know, cutting the leaves off and watching stuff come up out of the ground. It's awesome. It's the naturalest high there is.
I've only weeded once in my life. But I will say there was such a sense of completion when it was done. Yeah. Like, I looked and I was like, wow, like, I did that. It looks great. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I went outside and magically they've all come back.
Right. You saw like five you didn't see before.
And
right.
I was like, forget it. I'm never doing this again. What a waste of time this was.
Weeding is not the same thing totally as gardening. Weeding is part of gardening. Mm-hmm. Yes, but it's not. She's talking about cultivating things growing, you know, giving life to things. You cleaned up for 4 hours one day around your sidewalk. Congratulations.
Yeah, get somebody else to do that part and you concentrate on like the planting and the sort of growing part. That's way better.
Santa and Raven, what gives you the natural high?
This may seem like a weird one, but I love playing basketball. And my favorite thing is I've moved to a lot of different cities and I play a lot of pickup games at the park. And I always meet a random number of people that we end up on a team. And just like the community of people that like to play basketball, like everyone's competitive. It's always so fun. But, you know, especially when your game is on, you win a game with a bunch of people you had met 20 minutes ago. There's a bond that kind of forms. It's hard to explain. But I just love it. I love playing pickup basketball.
It's a little bit of respect too, I think. You know, when you go up there with people you don't know, because they don't know what you got, what you don't got, right? And you're happening in the game. Like, yeah, I mean, I get that. I mean, obviously you got endorphins from running around anyways, but totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, no, respect 100% is a good way to put it, just because people show up and you're like, oh, I wonder if this guy can play. Next thing you know, he's draining 25 footers and you're like, oh, this guy's a real problem.
Right. Right. This guy is housing me. Right. Right. I'm picking him for the next team.
I think sports in general, succeeding in doing something. Surfing, one of my girlfriends surfs. She says the high you get from surfing when you catch a good wave is unlike anything else.
It's different than so many other things, too, because you ride it and it's alive, you know? It's different that way even than snowboarding. I've tried it. I'm no good. Yeah, no good.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What gives you that natural high?
Spicy foods. My friends and I like to do like the hot pepper challenge and see who can outspice each other. And we'll have like tears streaming down our face, but it is such a high.
Eat people. I don't understand, y'all. To me, anything over a certain amount of heat, like I can't even taste it anyways. Oh, so I don't get it. Anything that's making me actually sweat. Mm-hmm. And make me think that I might have a heart attack.
Yep.
No, it's not for me.
I'm with you. I love it. Like when I get into something that's really spicy, it becomes like a personal challenge that I got to finish it. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to do it. And my face could be bright red with the tears coming down, but I can't stop myself.
What happens if you itch your eyeball?
I mean,
or if you scratch behind your ear?
I survive it.
You know, you're burning up. You're burning up.
Sometimes I immediately get heartburn, and it's just like a victory. Oh, we're doing it.
I hate that feeling.
Yeah. So if you missed it earlier, it's Wellness Wednesday, and today was all about how to build confidence. So this guy on TikTok, he's an influencer, he said that you should do this.
This is a simple trick to become more confident. This one is called the 10% discount. Now, the idea is that you go into a shop, a coffee shop or a supermarket, and randomly ask them for 10% discount. This is going to build your confidence like nothing else.
I mean, it sounds absolutely nuts, but if you've ever encountered one of those people that is asking for a discount, they're relentless. They can be absolutely relentless. And a lot of times you'll just give up.
Well, you have to be confident to do that because you need nerve to do that because it's embarrassing in so many ways. So we figured the only way to see if this actually works and if it does build confidence is to send producer Sean to 7-Eleven to ask for a 10% discount, right?
I mean, why not? They should be up for it, right?
Yeah. Sean, you're in 7-Eleven now?
Yes, I am.
What items have you selected to buy?
I've got a donut, a yogurt, and a Slurpee.
What flavor Slurpee?
Cherry.
Okay.
John guilted me about the Slurpee. I was supposed to have a parfait instead, but now that you've already poured it, I mean, I'm just going to have to do what I can for the team.
All right. Are you approaching the cashier?
Yes, I am.
All right, just calmly ask for if they have a 10% discount. You would love to have it.
Sir, do you have a 10% discount today? No? Maybe can you meet me halfway to 5? Can you meet me halfway at a 5%?
No.
All right. How about 8? Can we do 8%?
No.
No? How about 15? Can we do 15?
No.
No? Okay.
He's not going to give you 8. Why would he give
you
15?
I'll go for 5. Can we do 5 today? 5%? No, nothing?
No, I can't.
Ask them what day the 10% discount is. I want to know what day it is.
What day is the 10% discount?
Yeah.
No.
There's never a 10% discount? Never? Never?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
Some period for 1 month or like that.
Okay. So I just missed, it's the wrong day then. Oh.
So wait a minute. So he's going to make a day, even though he said there's no day, he's going to make a day.
Sounds like it. What day of the month is that usually?
It depends on. I don't know exactly that. Yeah.
Okay. So just when I come in, hopefully I get lucky one day.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you'll ask again next
Take
time.
Your seat, please. Thank you very much.
See you tomorrow.
Right.
Have a nice day. Well, thank you very much, man.
The guy was willing to say anything to get you out of the store.
Oh, yeah. Sean, did you walk out yet?
I did.
Okay, quick question. Do you feel more confident now that you asked for a 10% discount?
You know, honestly, I kind of do. I really do.
I guess I'm like the opposite. I would just feel awkward
and defeated. Like, aren't you embarrassed?
He told me no. I'm leaving without the discount. I mean, I would feel a little bit defeated. That's me.
I don't know. I do see something about you were nervous to do it, but you did it anyway. And you can conquer things you want to do. You can do things that are hard.
You know, whether I got the discount or not, the idea of it was, I mean, at least it was a fun conversation to have with him.
Mm.
You know, so that kind of like brightened my day, maybe brightened his a little too.
Unless he calls the police.
Now get back here with my Slurpee before it melts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the bottom when it gets, there's no frozen stuff at the bottom. It's the saddest part of the Slurpee.
We get it.
Oh, this is for you?
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you crazy? This is your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
And I'm a necessity is the mother of all invention type guy. And if you got to get something done, I understand. You got to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the guy that's holding onto a mattress with one hand on the top of your car, or you've got something that's 6 foot long sticking out of the top of your convertible or whatever it may be, that's all I need to know about you. I saw a guy with a paddleboard in the back of his convertible yesterday, which it doesn't sound that crazy, right? High temperatures, you want to get out in the water, you do that. But it was seriously like 7 feet out of the vehicle. And every time that he drove underneath an overpass or whatever, I was like, you're going to be in danger. Wind-wise, I don't even know how it stayed in the car. But if you're the person also that uses your convertible like a pickup truck, that's also all I need to know about you. They go hand in hand here.
There's nothing that more panic that comes across my face. It's like when we're at somewhere and there's something big that I want, and then I have to have the conversation with my husband on why I think it'll fit in the car when he knows perfectly well
that it's not going to.
No way it'll miss. And then he'll like to be like, no, no, no. And then I convince him, we'll go outside with the object. He knows exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
And then I'll always be surprised when there's no way to fit it in the car.
Oh, what if we remove this? What if we take this
Let's
out? What
put
if we...
the seats down. We don't need the car seat. I'll right. just hold her really tight.
You're willing to throw things out the window to get the yeah. item home at that point. I saw somebody that had a huge grill in their convertible the other day. Like, I mean, I get it. Mm. You want to start barbecuing this time of year, but I mean, seriously.
I would try to convince my husband that we should find like an old beat up pickup truck that just lives at our house for these situations. Yeah.
You're not going to fit a sofa in a Chrysler Sebring. It's nope. just not going to happen.
1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, all I need to know about you.
All right. If everything you wear is black every day, like everything is black. You got black shoes. You got wear black clothes every single day, like a uniform. That's all I need to know about you.
Have you ever worked with somebody like that? I had a guy that I worked with.
I would wear black all the time if I could. I mean, 90% of my clothes are black. I just put it with jeans so that it doesn't look like I'm wearing all black. But,
what?
Yeah. I mean, look at me right now, Raven.
Like, what is the purpose of that?
It's slimming. Everybody knows that. You can't even tell. It's like I'm not even here. I'm so slim.
You're so slim. You're almost invisible.
Completely.
This guy was 6 foot two that had an office right down the hall from me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wore black every single day.
He wanted to blend in. He was 6 foot two. He was self-conscious about his height.
Blend in with what?
I don't know.
Midnight?
Slimming. Five Calls says it all. What do you think about this? I got this email last night, Raven, and it's, I think, an unpopular opinion, but I agree with it.
Mm.
Tell me what you think. Here it says, Anna, please don't read my name on the air. Don't worry, because you didn't sign your name, unless I'm just going to read your email address. So don't worry about that. But I was looking for some insight on a situation at my son's school. He's in sixth grade, and his school has a strict no cell phone policy. They've collected students' phones if they are in plain sight. They've given detentions if a child has their phone. And I just think that obviously cell phones should be banned from being on their desks during class, but they should be allowed to have their phones in school. I agree. I agree with that. I do. I think that there comes an age when you think your child is responsible enough to have a phone. They have a lot of after-school activities. They have a lot going on. God forbid there's an emergency. They should be able to have their phones. In my mind, cell phones are the new gum. So, like, remember, like, you couldn't really have gum in class, but you could have it in your backpack.
Cell phones are the new gum?
Yeah. That's my stance on it. That's my stance. I do. I think that you have to regulate it. You have to say that when they can have it and when they can't. But I don't think you can say, like, no, you can't bring your cell phone to school. I don't know.
I tend to disagree with you on that just because of the age factor here. I mean, the fact is that, yes, you can tell a child that they don't need their phone with them up until sixth grade. I don't see any problem with that whatsoever. Listen, we all went to school before. There were no cell phones. So when you went to school, you survived. And I'm sure you had after school activities and your family was busy then, too. If you say to yourself, we're so much busier now than we were then, you're probably lying to yourself, right? You're slanting things. The fact is that if you wanted to get a hold or get a message to your child or know where they were or whatever, you could do it through the office. And if you're talking with your children and you know what their activities are, you can settle that the day before. We've gotten to the point where we want instant gratification at everything that we do, which means that I've got a thought. I want an answer. That's what it is all day long. And we do it with our children just like anything else. High school level, I think, is different. Middle school level could be different. Latchkey kid, okay, I understand that messages would make sense for that kid to get it. But
that's
again,
a lot of ifs. Don't you have to have one blanket across the board?
Well, look at it like this, is that if kids, you know, under the age or before the grade of six, you know, grade six, want to go ahead and carry a cell phone, maybe they could have a locker for it. Maybe they could have somewhere to store it or whatever. That way they could check it just at recess or check it like that. But they can't carry it in their backpack and they cannot carry it to class because you can't trust them.
I think
they're impulsive.
I think that technology changes, obviously, over time. And I think that the mentality of your cell phone is a bad thing is not necessarily true. I think that there's a lot of positive apps. There's a lot of good research. There's a lot of ways. I mean, my daughter's classes, she gets emails from the teachers at 7 o'clock at night for things that they need in the morning.
She doesn't need it at noon.
But
she doesn't need her phone to get that email at noon. She's in class.
Use it as a tool. What if it's responsibly kept? I don't know.
What I'm
going
to say is don't be in a rush. You've got your whole life to use a cell phone as a tool. Do you need it in third grade?
I think it's old school mentality, Raven. I really do. Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. Do you think kids should be allowed to have their cell phones in schools? I got an email last night from a parent that said that they were very upset that their school has become so strict against cell phones because they think that their children should be allowed to have them in their backpacks, not out in the open during class. But the question comes, then how do teachers police it when they are taking their phones out? They are on social media. I don't know. I side with the idea that they should have it. I mean, this is 2022, emergencies, all that. It's a technology. It's just you should be able to use it if you need to.
I feel like there is always a way that your child can communicate. Obviously, it has been a changing time. There are different things out there in the world. There have been different problems, terrors that kids have had to deal with. On the other hand, there are certain things in place for them to be able to communicate or keep themselves safe in those manners, too. And I think that at a certain age, it's just a distraction. We keep making excuses, but is this really about the fact that we just want to be able to get an answer to a question anytime we want from our child?
What do you think? Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
We live in a completely different world. They should be allowed to be brought in. They should not be heard nor seen while in school.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. They should just be concealed.
Yeah, we definitely live in a different world. I have a latchkey daughter. She walks a couple hundred yards to and from the school bus. I want her to have a phone.
Agreed.
Right, but that's out of school. That's not. It's not in school. If you're asking kids to conceal phones, it's just like notes or anything else that they're hiding from the teacher. It's a distraction because they're going to try and access it. You got to lock them up, essentially. You can't have them on them and then just trust them to do the right thing.
Yeah, no, but you can. I disagree. I think you can. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think? Cell phones in the school?
Yes, I think the kids should be allowed to have cell phones in school.
Mm-hmm.
And simple, yeah, I mean, there's rules and regulation where they're not supposed to, like, take it out during class. But it's important for them to have a cell phone with everything that's going on now. It could be an emergency, you know, with all the shooting and everything. You never know. Cell phones save lives, you know? So something could be an emergency and they have their phone, they're able to call the cop. They're able to call their parents if they're stranded. You know, anything could happen in chaos. You know, in the classroom, they got to run out or whatever. So I think they definitely should have your phones in school.
Five calls says it all. What do you think about cell phones in school? Should kids be allowed to have them?
No, I do not. I think that the children, we survived without our cell phones for so long. I think that children should not have them in the classroom. I think that if you need to get in touch with your child, you can do it through the office. We survived before without it. I think we are so reliable on the phone these days. I do think when they get older that they may be a little bit more responsible, but I think it's just so much that we give these kids these phones all the time. So no, I disagree. I don't think that they should have the phones in the classroom.
And on Raven, five calls says it all. Phones in the classroom. What do you think?
No, it can't happen. I work in a middle school. The kids are always on social media. They get distracted. And I'm 25. And I grew up with cell phones. It's just distracting too much.
Anna and Raven, five calls says it all. What do you think? Cell phones in the classroom?
Without a doubt. 100%. With all the craziness going on in the world, and school shootings and stuff, how do you not want kids to have a phone? God forbid something goes wrong.
All right, so let's see. Three votes for yes, cell phones in the schools. Two votes for no cell phones. Real torn. What do you think? Let us know on our Instagram story at Anna and Raven. They always say that adults don't know today's slang, like yes and slay and spill the tea and bougie and all that kind of stuff.
I just found out that slaps is good.
Slaps is good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Somebody was online talking about a burrito. They said it slaps, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Turns out it's good.
So we decided to flip the switch, and we asked my 13-year-old daughter, Hayden, about 90s slang and see how much she knew.
Hayden, these are all 90s slang terms. I'm going to tell you what they are. You tell me what you think they mean. Sound good?
Yeah.
Let's bounce.
Well, you use this, so it kind of means like, let's go or let's leave the party.
I feel like people still say let's bounce, but then I'm like, wait a minute, do I only? Am I the only one that still says that? Let's bounce.
I say some stuff from back then, too. I wonder if she's going to know all of these because, you know.
Because we keep saying them?
We're pretty hip, so we're talking slang still.
Yeah, we're hip. Yeah.
That's fat, but fat with a PH.
Maybe it means like, that's a wrap on something.
Means something's awesome.
Well, if you say that's fat, I'm thinking of like some type of big animal, like a gorilla.
I could see her confusion.
You know what? Gorillas are awesome too, though.
Right. They're fat.
So where's that?
Yeah.
I thought she would have had that one.
Hey, home skillet.
Oh, I know what this is. You're in like the home section of home goods and you found one of those skillets that you use to cook eggs?
No, a home skillet's what you call your friend. So if I said to you, hey, home skillet, just like saying like, hey, buddy, hey, friend.
Okay.
Yeah, in retrospect, that one is strange. And I never seemed strange until I was saying it now. And I'm like, I guess I haven't called anybody home skillet in a while.
Enough in front of her, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I really would have thought she would have known that.
That's
one.
That's because we're from the 90s, Raven.
They're so obvious to me.
Right.
Crib. What's a crib?
A crib is like one of those really fancy houses,
yeah.
Or like a rich house, I guess.
Yeah, and then I had to explain to her that that was made famous by MTV Cribs. But the truth of the matter is you don't have to have a big house or a mansion. Wherever you live is your crib.
Yeah, that's your spot. Yeah.
Yep.
Talk to the hand.
That's like when someone's really annoyed with you and you don't want to talk with them. So you like put your hand out in their face and you're like, talk to the hand.
Because the face don't understand.
Nice rhyming.
Talk to the hand because your breath I can't stand.
Why are you talking like this?
You all up in my grills. Like, why don't we say that anymore? That stuff was fat.
I mean, I'm still saying all of these things. Pretty much every one of these things.
Says a lot about you, Raven.
If something is all that in a bag of chips, what does that mean?
Something's really, like, you think it's amazing, but it's not that amazing in retrospect.
No, actually, if it's all that in a bag of chips, it's amazing and even more amazing than you possibly ever thought something could be. Because it's all that and a bag of chips. Understand?
Well, why would it be and a bag of chips? Why wouldn't it be like plus a beautiful golden bracelet?
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, some people like different side dishes than others.
I mean
it's an enhancement.
Where did a bag of chips come from?
It's an enhancement. It's like you got the meal. You got the meal deal. You know what I'm saying? Like you got an enhancement.
What's the 411?
Well, I know what a 401k is, so maybe it's asking what is something with a house?
What? 411 is a phone number you call for information. It was the name of Mary J. Blige's 1992 album, What's the 411? It has nothing to do with 401ks.
But 401ks have money.
Well, first of all, why does my 13-year-old know what a 401k is?
Right?
So weird. I don't think I learned about that till like last year when my husband had to tell me I had to get sign up for one.
It seems right.
Manifesting your best life. You keep hearing that, but what does it mean? There's 4 steps in manifesting your dreams. Now, every day this week, you're going to conquer one of those steps. Yesterday, it was all about identifying your best life. Raven's best life is having a hut renting snorkel gear in the Caribbean, correct?
Pretty much, yeah. I'll work on your jet ski, too, if you come by. I could do that.
Producer John was being a successful musician, right, John?
No, always.
Yep. Producer Sean wants to live in the woods and train bears like some kind of circus sideshow.
Lions, too.
Lions, too. Yes. I just want to sleep in and have a lot of money. That's really what it comes down to for me. So today, the second step in manifesting your dreams is all about your highest self. So you have to identify who is your highest self. So when you picture your highest and truest version of yourself, what are they like? How do they feel? How do they speak? How do they dress? What does their typical day entail? Raven, you go first.
No pressure or anything. Well, you know, I mean, I envision myself dressing business casual, kind of a Marlon Brando kind of cool. I exude confidence, but yet I've got some humility there, too. My best self does anyways. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I'll deliver thoughts and ideas, you know, again, confidently, but I also allow people to speak. My highest self does.
Okay.
My highest, the one that I envision, allows other people to speak and never, ever, ever talks while he's chewing food.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's
got that one from my wife.
Oddly specific. All right.
I'm doing it lately, the last couple of years. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Turning into an alpaca or something.
Producer John. Who is your highest self?
My highest self spends my free time actually working on my passions, actually doing all the things that I say I'm going to do, as opposed to when I get out of work early, I just go home and watch Netflix all day and don't actually do any of those things. That could be like getting in really good shape. My highest self is super ripped, mm-hmm. like Brad Pitt in Fight Club, but with gray hair.
Wow.
That's what my highest self looks like. And also, I actively avoid things that make my anxiety worse instead of embracing those things, like drink less coffee.
Okay.
To maybe eat a little bit better instead of eating a cheesesteak, and don't stay out late on the weekends and drink, because I always say I'm going to not do those things. And then I complain about the anxiety afterward, yet I continue to do those things.
All right. These seem like logical highest self things. Producer Sean, what's your highest
self? Except that Brad Pitt is 30 years older than you.
Yeah, but like 30 years when he was 30 years younger, though.
Oh, okay.
But with the gray hair still.
I was going to say that's the confusing part for me, but okay.
Producer
go ahead, Sean.
All right. I look phenomenal, okay? I'm like a jacked Tony Soprano. I'm as feared as Napoleon Bonaparte, okay? Mm-hmm. I spend my day in nothing but jean shorts. No shirt, no shoes.
Shorts.
It's pronounced shorts.
I'm feeding my bears and lion hybrids. I'm hammering down wooden signs around my property to say, keep off my swamp. It just sounds better than keep off my property. Well, thank you, Shrek.
Like Shrek?
Exactly like Shrek. Thank you.
All right.
And I live phenomenally in my cabin in the woods. No one touches me. No one messes with me. My bears and my lions love me.
Okay.
And I'm hand feeding them salmon that I caught.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Got it, yeah. My highest self is a little different than all of yours.
Surprisingly.
My highest self is stress-free. I wear blazers a lot because I'm confident. I'm not hungry all the time. I remember to blend my makeup so my face isn't orange and my neck isn't white. My typical day involves doing cool stuff like going on safaris and having lunch with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. I think we're well on our way to these things. Tina, please call me. Like we'll go anywhere you want for lunch. Anywhere you want to go. And it's on me, 100%. Unless it's somewhere very expensive, then it has to be on you. All right, tomorrow we'll continue this project.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Ella and Nate. Ella, let's start with you. What's going on?
Yeah. So we're throwing a birthday party for my 7-year-old, Maddie. And, you know, she invited, like, 7 friends from school, but she didn't invite them at school. We did it privately. But I guess the kids were talking about it at recess or, like, during break or something. And so the teacher emailed me saying that the other kids feel left out and is now requesting that I invite all of the other kids. That would be 23 kids, which, you know, if we were in our backyard would be fine, but we're going to one of those art studios where you pay per kid. And it's just, that's so expensive that I just don't think it's fair for her to, you know, ask us to do that. I get not everybody can be invited to everything, but we invited the ones that our daughter's actually close with, and I don't think that we should have to invite everybody else and pay for them
to
come.
Nate, you want to do that? You want to invite all these people?
I think it's fine. I mean, why leave kids out? It's not something we could control. The conversation got out. The kids were talking about it. And I would feel terrible if Maddie wasn't invited to something and if she was upset. So if this is upsetting the kids, it's just something that we can... It's more money than we expected, but it's not going to break the bank. And I think it would be a fun day anyway. Ella, I think we're going to enjoy the day even more.
Ugh. You know what? I mean, I see both of your sides. You hate to see your kid left out of anything, right? It would absolutely break your heart. It's the most painful thing to watch your children go through things like that, where they're excluded or whatever. So, you know, on the one hand, and when they're young, you know, you remember those things and they kind of shape who goes to these parties down the road. On the other hand, there's nothing wrong with having your friends, your clique, the people that you're close with, and your group. I mean, you don't have to be in line with 23 other individuals. That's a big party. You know? I mean, it's 3 times the cost.
It's a big thing that the teacher asked.
Like, I think that's rude.
I'm surprised by that. It is rude because not only is it a financial burden, but like that's really overstepping her lines, but kids are talking about it, and I don't know. I think sometimes teachers have a hard pill to swallow figuring out where that line is.
I mean, that's true, but did the teacher talk about this, that she was going to try and get them invited to the kids? I mean, to me, it's a violation. That's a trust violation right there, honestly.
But that's why you don't do invitations at school. I mean, that's the whole reason why.
Well, we didn't.
Yeah, but they didn't. I mean, they talked about it privately. The kids talked about it. Kids can talk about things they're excited about. That's going to happen. I mean, obviously, you'll talk to the kids in the future, but you still can't guarantee that nobody's going to say anything. That's just the way it is.
Okay, here's what we'll do. We'll see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Ella. It's a lot of money. It was overstepping the teacher's boundaries to ask that you invite the entire class, and you can just say, no, not this time. But they may see Nate's side, too, where what's the harm if it's not really going to break the bank and they're 7 years old? Like, why do they have to learn about being left out now? Like, let them just all have a fun day. Then what's the big deal?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Nate and Ella have planned a birthday party for their 7-year-old daughter. She invited 7 friends from school. Well, I guess the kids at school started talking about it. Some of the kids started feeling left out. It became an issue in the classroom. So the teacher emailed Ella and said, it would really be kind if you invited the entire class, which is 23 kids. And Ella was like, that's a lot of money. Like, and who are you to tell me who to invite to my child's birthday party?
Yeah, Nate thinks it's not a big deal, though. He says, you know what? The more the merrier. It's okay. We can actually afford it. Let's do it here. I'd rather, you know, not feel like we were leaving anybody out. I think that the teacher, when she reached out in the first place, totally inappropriate. But, you know, I just wonder, did she talk to the classroom about it, too? Because it seems so left field for me to send that message in the first place.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court?
Oh, the wife, for sure. It's 7 children. It's one thing if you were leaving out, like, 5 kids, I'd say, absolutely, you need to invite the other 5. But you're inviting not even a third of the class. So it just doesn't make any sense. And there's actually schools that tell the teachers they have to do that. So it might not even be just the teacher. It might be the school's policy, which I don't agree with. But I know that there are schools like that.
That sounds insane for a policy, but okay.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Nate and Ella have planned a birthday party for their 7-year-old daughter. They invited 7 friends from class, and they're going to, like, an art shop. They're doing, like, an art party. I guess the kids at school started talking about it. Some kids definitely felt left out. It became a big issue. So the teacher emailed Ella and said, given the fact that a lot of kids' feelings were hurt, it would really be nice if they invited the entire class. And Ella thinks that's overstepping the teacher's boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, it seems insane to me. Nate thinks it's no big deal. Listen, we can afford it. Why don't we just invite the rest of the kids and, you know, then everybody can come and have a good time. Here's the thing. Yeah. You can't stop kids from talking. If they're excited about a party, they're allowed to talk about it at school.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. There's no way that she should have done that. Be able to have her own friends, just like she would if she had a sleepover with 3 or 4 kids without everybody in the class. She's not going to invite 23 kids to a sleepover.
Yeah, the expense really blows me away. That would be the thing that really bothered me. Not everybody's in a position to make that happen, even if they wanted to.
Right, it's not a backyard party. I don't... Santa and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side, but I do understand her point of view. And I feel like there has to be a reason that the teacher reached out. And I always remember back in school being the one that was left out, and it's not a good feeling. So I'm thinking that somebody's feelings were really hurt in the class, which is why she reached out to the parents.
I mean, this happened to Hayden recently. My older daughter, she was like, so-and-so had a party and I wasn't invited. And it was like a hard conversation to have. So I was like, all right, well, we write her name down. We remember never to invite her to anything we ever do ever again. But it's a learning experience because sometimes you're not going to be invited.
Right.
And it hurts. But it's part of growing up.
It is real life, right? You will be excluded at times. And some people just aren't nice, by the way. Like, not all of your classmates are actually your friends.
It's true. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm Chen. My mom's over here, and she's a teacher. And I think a teacher should never text the parent to invite everyone. My mom would never do that, and I think maybe they can just invite all the girls.
I would certainly be having a conversation with the teacher. I don't know if I'd be talking to her boss, but I would be having a conversation with the teacher.
Yes. See, you know, she brings up a good point, though, because she said invite all the girls, because they said they invited 7 students. But what if only 9 kids in the class are girls? Well, now they've only excluded 2 girls, and I can understand where that can be a little problematic at 7 years old.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Ella, our audience agreed with you today. It's not right that the teacher asked that. It's a lot of money, and you should certainly just write back and say, unfortunately, we won't be able to do it this time, but thank you so much for the suggestion, and just keep it to the original 7 friends she invited.
I'm going to put an edit on that and tell her that you didn't appreciate her butting in. I mean, thanks for the information, but honestly, I would be considering thinking about talking to her boss.
Thank you.
Nate, you're going to be cool with this?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I think it's fun that Maddie's getting the day that she actually wanted and pictured, and that's fine in the end. And yeah, it, you know, kids kids get excited about a lot of stuff that doesn't pan out. We can't control everything.
Right. And you know what? I mean, here's a suggestion. You could talk with the other parents there during drop-off or pickup or whatever that day and just say, hey, listen, maybe we can keep the rest of this quiet. Have a conversation with the kids. Let them know about the conversation that you had and that, you know, you don't want to make anybody feel bad in that classroom of their classmates, obviously, but these are her friends. That's why they're there. That's why they're invited.
Yeah, it sounds good.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $5,600 thanks to Discover Card. With prices soaring at the pump, Discover has your back with cash back. Use Discover to earn 5% cash back at the gas station and Target. Now through June and up to $1,500 worth of purchases when you activate. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/rewards. Marianne, I am ready to give away some cash. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Marianne.
Okay.
Thank you.
Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. But if you beat him, $5,600. You ready to play?
Yes, thank you.
Number one, the final season of AMC's Better Call Saul premiered this week with 2 back-to-back episodes. What inflatable figure sits on top of Saul Goodman's office?
The Statue of Liberty.
Number two, the famous axe from The Shining is hitting the auction block and is expected to sell for $100,000. What is the infamous line Jack Nicholson says after chopping a hole through the bathroom door that Shelley Duvall is hiding behind?
Here's Johnny.
Number three, Johnny Depp took the stand yesterday in his $50 million defamation lawsuit against Amber Heard. Amber Heard has been the spokesperson for what French personal care company since 2008?
L'Oreal.
Number four, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are making a movie about Nike's efforts to land a partnership with Michael Jordan in the mid-1980s. Michael Jordan famously wore the Air Jordan 7 Bordeaux sneakers in what 1992 music video?
I don't know. Space Jam. I don't know.
Number five, Netflix will offer a cheaper ad-supported plan after losing so many subscribers after their price hikes. Cocomelon is consistently one of the most watched children's shows on Netflix. What's the name of the lead blonde-haired toddler?
I don't know, Anna.
It's definitely not Anna. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay, so Marianne got 3 out of 5.
All right, Marianne. Pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Number one, the final season of AMC's Better Call Saul premiered this week with 2 back-to-back episodes. What inflatable figure sits on top of Saul Goodman's office?
Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty.
Yes. Number two, the famous axe from The Shining is hitting the auction block and expected to sell for $100,000.
That would be a cool item to have.
What is the infamous line that Jack Nicholson says after chopping a hole through the bathroom door that Shelley Duvall was hiding behind?
Here's Johnny.
Number three, Johnny Depp took the stand yesterday in his $50 million defamation lawsuit against Amber Heard. Amber Heard has been the spokesperson for what French personal care company since 2018?
Just going to take a shot and say L'Oreal.
L'Oreal is correct. Number four, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are making a movie about Nike's efforts to land a partnership with Michael Jordan in the mid-1980s. Michael Jordan famously wore the Air Jordan 7 Bordeaux sneakers in what 1992 music video?
Isn't that Montel Jordan? This is how we do it?
No, Jam, Michael Jackson. Number five, Netflix will offer a cheaper ad-supported plan after losing so many subscribers after the price hikes. Cocomelon is consistently one of the most watched children's shows on Netflix. What's the name of the lead blonde-haired toddler?
Coco.
No, JJ. I'm sorry, Marianne. You guys tied at 3. You almost had him. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I was lucky.
Thank you. I'm Marianne. I can't sleep with you.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $5,700.